So I was on this train. It had broken down. It was night time. All I wanted to do was go home. And this man thought he would come up to me and tell me that he was going to pray for me and that he knew that I'd be cured any day now.
A random guy?
Yeah, just a random guy. And I was like, mate, I just want to get off the train. If you could pray for that, that would be better.
People are weird.
A man with Down syndrome and a woman in a wheelchair.
I'm Ruben Whiter, actor, handsome and modest, hot boyfriend. And I've been blessed with an extra chromosome.
And I'm Ruth Madeley, actress, dog mum, and this is how I get around. Aren't we both so brave and inspirational?
We want to talk to you about abortion.
Both our disabilities mean that we could have been terminated up to full term during our mum's pregnancies.
That's right, for unborn babies with a condition like ours, the rules are different.
That feels totally wrong to us. But are we right?
Disability and abortion, the hardest choice. Ruben, wearing a tan-coloured jacket, red tartan trousers and a pair of glasses, boards a train. September 2021.
I meet a man of the girlfriend, Jemima. So I live up north and Jemima, my girlfriend, lives south. And I'm going to meet her. I am a TV actor and a Channel 4 news reporter. The rest of the time, I work at my local sports centre. It's through those gates and turn left, and there's a sign saying Changing Village.
Thank you very much.
Hey, are you?
Hi.
And, like most people my age,
I love you.
I love to spend time with my girlfriend.
You?
Me.
You?
You and you.
So when are we going to see each other next?
We could do
Easter time.
Yeah.
Yes, I could come down and probably stay over with you.
Yes.
Yes.
A converted warehouse.
When I'm not visiting Jemima, I live here. This is my flat, basically. I actually work here and I make my teas and coffees over here. In here, this is my lounge. I can sit, relax, watch TV, probably on my iPad, having a boogie. Yes, I have Down syndrome. It's not a problem for me or my family, but other people often think it is.
What do you say to those who think people with learning disabilities can't live independently with support?
That is absolutely ridiculous. I have a really great life. You have to believe in yourself. And that's why I am a campaigner.
Ruth using her wheelchair, then walking around her garden.
As you can probably tell, I have a disability too. Spina bifida.
Bring it back.
That means when I was in my mother's womb, my spinal cord didn't develop properly. And now I have a gap in my spine.
My spina bifida is considered the most severe form of spina bifida. I'm mobile, so I walk around the house, but I use my wheelchair most of the time. Cheers, 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 cheers.
My day job is drama. BAFTA nominated, babes. I live with my boyfriend.
I need about 10 of these.
Intravenously.
Intravenous, hook me up.
I have mates, we like a drink. It's all pretty normal, right?
You got my audition tomorrow.
Best of shots.
Best of shots. To be fair, it might be better.
Shh. Stop!
Disability for me isn't the worst case scenario. It never has been. And it never would be. I couldn't imagine it being.
Come in. Hey, Mummy.
But none of this would have happened if my mum had aborted me when she found out I had spina bifida.
Oh, gosh, you look different now.
Something she would have been legally entitled to do until the day I was born.
An angel was born on the 4th of August.
Well, oh, you!
Look at you, look how happy you are that you've got a little sister. When did you find out I had spina bifida?
Not until 6 weeks before you were born. They were doing 3 scans then, and they found it on the 3rd scan.
How was the news, like, delivered to you?
Not very well. It was very negative. Said that you wouldn't really do much. When I said I couldn't feel you kicking, he said, well, she's got arms, you know.
She's got 2 middle fingers as well. Were you frightened?
I mean, obviously, nobody wants anything wrong with the child. Mm. And yes, it is very worrying and it is frightening. We just wanted you to be alive and to be able to get on with looking after you.
Did you ever think about having more children after you had me?
No, because we were absolutely lucky enough to have 2 children already. Mm-hmm. And I just found, I found it hard in the fact that by then you'd started having operations and things. And I thought to myself, could I knowingly put a baby in that position? I'd rather not try for another baby than knowingly, you know, put a child through it.
Was it different raising a non-disabled child and a disabled child?
No. Other than hospital, medical side.
There's lots of perks to being disabled. Queue for things.
We never had to queue for things.
We're just going through all this old stuff rooms here.
Oh, what's up?
I never spoken to my mum and my dad about what happened when I was born.
When did you find out I had Down syndrome?
When you were born, before they even cut the cord on you, I turned to your dad and I said, do you remember this? I said to you, we've got a baby with Down syndrome here.
How do you feel?
I was absolutely delighted that you'd arrived safe and sound, Rubes. Yeah. Dad probably remembers more of it.
I was delighted, stroke, shocked, you know.
Why were you shocked?
Well, there is a moment of shock and scare because the future is unknown.
If you had known, would you abort me?
Reuben's mum considers.
No. I'd lost 2 babies in a miscarriage and I thought, if this baby's digging in, then we're going to, you know, this is the baby for us. What do you think, Dad?
Well, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because you're a different person then to the person you are now, aren't you? So,
yeah.
The person I was then would have certainly given them pause for thought.
Well, thank heavens, we didn't know beforehand.
Were there hard bits?
What about having a baby with Down syndrome? So you're dealing with new things all the time, I guess. We were always the odd one out, and you have to kind of steel yourself for that, that you are the one that's different. But in the end, I just got on with it, Rubes.
What's that?
That's your first pair of swimming trunks.
It's got a hole in.
It's got a hole in an unfortunate place.
Oh.
Reuben boards a train, and Ruth is about to take a taxi.
Wish me luck. Bye.
Good luck.
Thank you. Love you. The law on abortion states that after 24 weeks of pregnancy, a termination is only allowed under certain circumstances.
One of which is if there is a substantial risk.
That if the child were born, it would suffer
from such physical and mental
abnormalities as to be seriously handicapped. So an unborn baby's life is protected by law after 24 weeks, but a baby diagnosed with a severe disability can be terminated up to birth. I'm going to let that sink in a minute.
Do you think having a disability means our lives should be valued less? We don't.
Outside the Royal Courts of Justice.
We aren't alone. Two women have taken the government to court, challenging the law.
Let's do this!
Reuben and I are heading to London for the verdict and to offer our support.
Cheers.
Cheers. You're changing the law.
Mm-hmm.
And making the world a better place for everyone.
With the court verdict looming, I've come to meet Heidi, a fearless disability rights campaigner.
I have siblings. I've got two brothers and one sister, and they're all amazing. And I'm the same. I just don't know why the law protects them and not me.
Heidi is one of the two women taking the government to court on the grounds of discrimination.
Are you proud?
I am very proud of myself to have gone this far. I have got to the High Court.
Last year, Heidi got married to her boyfriend, James.
I want people to know that my husband is no less valuable as my mother. And I won't stand for it. James is absolutely amazing.
I like and I love to protect love and care and happiness all around.
For unborn baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I fight for. It could protect us from the law.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for the results.
Then we're going to have a massive prosecco.
Yes.
Yes. Let's do this!
21st of September 2021.
If it doesn't go our way, I'm picking a railing to chain myself to. There's quite a few around here, so that's good.
According to Department of Health abortion statistics, in 2019, there were over 3,000 abortions in England and Wales because the child was likely to have a severe disability.
Reuben! Yeah. How are you feeling, Rube?
I'm fine.
Good.
275 of those took place after 24 weeks of pregnancy.
Many women, like myself, are pressured to abort much-wanted pregnancies in the context of fear and misinformation which is given to them.
We are amazing just the way we are. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It feels really tense, very, very tense.
As well as the crowds of campaigners, there are news crews from around the world. It's quite overwhelming.
How will you feel if it goes our way?
I'd be over the moon, basically. It is a massive, massive day for people like us. That's why I'm blasting nervous now.
After a 20-minute reading from the judges...
Hi!
Heidi is out of court with the result.
How are you doing?
We lost.
Ruth looks gutted.
She lost.
I felt disappointed and I can't understand it.
It's a lot. It's a lot to hear in a building that's called the Royal Courts of Justice.
This doesn't feel right. Not all disabilities are a death sentence.
How do you feel?
I feel very upset. I just feel that no one wants me.
We need to meet people who can help us understand why the court has taken this decision, and for us to know, are we wrong?
This is my life. And my life is...
Reuben breaks down in tears. Disability and abortion, the hardest choice.
Are you any good? I used to play this with my grandpa.
I think... I've just played with my nan.
Since the court case last September, Reuben and I have been trying to understand why the Abortion Act allows babies with disabilities like ours to be aborted right up to birth, when non-disabled babies can only be aborted up to 24 weeks.
Are you feeling lucky?
I really don't know.
To help us, we ask YouGov to conduct a survey to find out what you, the great British public, think about our abortion laws.
So listen to this, Rubes. According to the survey, only 16% of people agree that terminations for a disability diagnosis should be illegal after 24 weeks.
So most people agree with the law?
Yeah. That's lower than I thought, you know. I thought more people would, I guess, be more shocked.
In fact, just over half of people like us, people born with a disability, also think it should be legal. That really surprises me.
And just over a quarter of the population think that you should be able to terminate up to full term for any reason whatsoever. So not disability specific, just for any reason whatsoever.
Well, at least they see us as equal.
True, yeah, very true.
When it comes to our own conditions, 42% of people think it should be legal to terminate for spina bifida after 24 weeks, and 36% for Down syndrome.
So I'm more popular than you?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, crikey, it's crazy.
I mean, what do you even do with information like that?
Why is disability seen as a bad thing? We don't need fixing.
That's very, very true. You know what does need fixing?
What?
The fact that I've lost. My grandpa will be so disappointed right now.
There is no doubt this is an emotionally charged ethical debate that divides opinion. But we really want to understand the dilemma women in these situations face.
These are not going to be easy conversations. Neither of us are parents, and we have disabilities, so we know it's really hard for people who have terminated after 24 weeks to talk to us.
So we're on our way to meet Natasha. Now, unbelievably, Natasha has had to make the really difficult decision whether or not to terminate her pregnancy, not once, but twice. I can't even imagine. But she's really bravely agreed to speak to us, so I'm really looking forward to meeting her.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Hiya, you're right.
Yeah, good, good.
After a series of miscarriages, 3 years ago, Natasha became pregnant with a girl she named Miley.
Do you want to put some flowers on the other side? Mm-hmm.
But at Natasha's 20-week scan, it was discovered Miley had intrauterine growth restriction. Her condition was so severe, she would have to be delivered very prematurely, which would likely cause significant problems, including blindness, cerebral palsy, and risk of premature death.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
As the pregnancy progressed, Natasha developed preeclampsia, and Miley showed no signs of improvement.
If you're happy to, tell us about Miley.
We were 24 weeks and 4 days, and they just basically said that the fact was she was never going to be coming home. So we'd gone from planning this future with this daughter to the future being completely stolen away from us. So one of the things that they offered us was to end the pregnancy. It's not a fast, quick decision, but it was a decision I knew that was best for us.
Once the pregnancy was ended, Natasha was induced to give birth to Miley.
When she was born and the room was so quiet, and that second there, I was like, I never, ever, ever want to have to do that again. Never.
What were your views on termination before?
I didn't know enough about the world of termination before Miley. And one of the things that we said, and I regret it, is we didn't want anybody to know. I wasn't prepared to say to anybody that I'd chosen to terminate my pregnancy or end the pregnancy. I was just like, the world is so judgmental, why would I open myself up to that judgment? And it took a very, very long time before we started talking about it.
2 years later, Natasha became pregnant once more with her daughter Libby. But again, scans showed the baby wasn't growing as she should.
When they were explaining to me that, look, she's not going to survive, I just went, no, don't mention, don't even say it. Don't don't want to talk about ending the pregnancy. It's not happening.
Libby was born by C-section at 29 weeks.
She came out kicking and screaming.
Did she?
Yeah. The tiniest catcalls of a baby crying, but she was too poorly. And she died nearly 3 days old, so...
I'm so sorry.
She was so close to that finishing line.
Silly.
Have your opinions of termination changed?
When it comes to a fatal diagnosis, I'm pro-choice. We've ended one pregnancy.
We've done both.
And we've held the daughter as she died. Would I know what to pick if it happened a third time? Probably not.
I think you are really, really, really brave.
I think you're really brave too.
Yeah. I don't feel brave.
Natasha has made some incredibly difficult choices. And I have to admit, it's hard to argue against a law that allowed her to decide what was right for her and her very poorly babies. But as the law doesn't list specific conditions that can be terminated after 24 weeks, who decides if a termination can go ahead? Dr. Reuben Jockey is a consultant in fetal and maternal medicine at Sheffield Jessop's Hospital.
Lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
And one of the two doctors who signed off on Natasha's termination with Miley, as required by law.
Doctors generally, but particularly us, I think, in fetal medicine, we're all fixers. We all want to make things better. We sometimes have to accept that we can't.
So what does someone who has to make these life and death judgments week in, week out, think of the law?
As a doctor, do you think it's helpful at all?
The law is as it is. To allow couples, women, the choice of what they want to do.
What I know most about in regards to disability is my own. And do you see a lot of spina bifida terminations?
Yes, of course I have, because we give them the option that, you know, this is not something that, you know, we are forcing people to go down one road only. We have to give them the choices because it is significant. I don't know how they're able to process the information or how they would see their lives in a few years' time with a child that potentially is disabled. And it's not for me to say.
No.
We don't place value on life. It's providing the support for people so that they have a choice. Once you've taken away the choice of what they can and can't do, whether it be with their body, with how they want to live, then what have you left them with? It's brutal.
Yeah. I really found it helpful getting a doctor's point of view. I've always looked at this law as like a personal attack on being disabled and, without it, I think of women like Tasha and pregnant people being left without a choice and what that would feel like. And I just feel really bad about how I'd viewed it in the past. And I've seen it as a personal attack on my life as a disabled person, my disabled life, my proud disabled life. And it's a lot more than that, isn't it? Yeah, I do feel a bit guilty. A bit overwhelmed.
Ruth wipes her tears. Disability and abortion, the hardest choice.
You're throwing my health kick out of the window.
This is the chef's choice, OK? You can grate the cheese.
Great.
Yeah, I know you love cheese.
My favourite.
Go.
You know what? My heart just broke for Natasha. I just found the whole thing so sad, the fact that she has been through so much. She had a termination and she had a second pregnancy where she continued with that one, and both ended in a really sad way for her.
What would Tasha have done without the law?
It would have made her experience even more traumatic.
Yeah, but her babies were really, really poorly. That feels different for babies like us. It's hard not to take it personally.
Yeah.
Because you and I live in proof of that. Not all disabilities are a death sentence, are they?
Yeah. Here is your eggy bread, but you have to leave the cheese to melt.
I will leave the cheese to melt. Thank you so much, Rubes. Mmm.
My special ingredient is love.
Well, you can tell. Made with love. Mmm.
I can see this issue. It's not black and white. And there needs to be choices for people like Natasha. But should all disabilities be lumped in together? I'm really struggling with the fact this law groups things like Down syndrome together with life-threatening and life-limiting conditions. I live a happy and fulfilled life, and 99% of people with Down syndrome think they do too. And that's compared to 77% of the rest of you. Surely the law can at least be tweaked.
Reuben swimming in a pool.
One person who might know is fellow athlete and multi-gold winning Paralympian, Tanny Gray Thompson.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is such a cool cafe. You have to use British Sign Language to order. A cappuccino, reduced fat, milk.
Tanny now sits as a member of the House of Lords, where she champions disability rights and equality.
So I was born with spina bifida in 1969. And when I was born, my parents were told if I'd been born a couple of years earlier, I'd have been taken away and not fed and allowed to die. The attitude towards disabled people still exists. It's still, you know, quite negative.
I want to know if Tanny agrees with me that disability is defined too broadly in the Abortion Act, making it fundamentally flawed.
Do you think there are problems with the law?
I do think there are problems with the law. I support a woman's right to choose abortion, but I think it's wrong to allow termination right up to due date just because of disability. Because the definition of disability is so wide, everyone is sort of lumped in together and it's all seen as inherently negative.
Would you like to see it changed?
The abortion legislation can be written in such a way that it does provide some caveats and it does provide decision-making ability as part of it, but I think there should be equality in the abortion law, that it should be 24 weeks, because as it currently stands, the fact that it's so different for a disabled fetus, it just devalues disabled people's lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not to say, you know, there are some disabled people who have really difficult and challenging lives, but that's about the fact that we still live in a world of inaccessibility and steps and no ramps and no lifts, and no toilets and things like that. Actually, we should think about how we fix the built environment, not actually just trying to eradicate disabled children.
But isn't it up to the lawmakers themselves to decide if laws ever get changed?
What is the process for changing the law?
It's a relatively easy law to change if there's the political will to do it. The challenge is the political will is probably not there. It's not a vote winner. It's a vote loser. So parliamentarians aren't very keen on changing legislation like that. So I've got an ability to influence. Could I change it? Not without another 350 peers supporting me and a similar number of MPs supporting the will to change it.
Yeah.
Reuben's going for a run along a country lane. Cows gathered in a field around a stone wall.
It was really helpful meeting Tanny, but frustrating. Wow, challenging the law is tricky. I can't understand why there isn't more support in Parliament. Can't they see that people like me have a great life and have lots to offer to society? Come on, government. You can do better than this. Do you agree with me, Cal? Playing the silent game, eh?
A cow stares at Reuben through a fence.
According to our survey, almost half of Brits would consider abortion before 24 weeks if the baby they were expecting had a substantial risk of a severe disability. After 24 weeks, nearly one in three people, 31% of us, would still be likely to consider it. So what is driving people to consider termination for disabilities?
I'm meeting a mother.
Hello. Hey, how are you doing? Come on in.
Who is not only against the law, but who thinks there is much work to be done in how news of a potential disability is delivered.
He loves playing with toy cars.
And the impact that might have on the choices the parents make.
Whee! Do you love that? More?
Moya is mother to two-year-old Aidan and was Heidi's co-claimant in the recent court case.
So, tell me about Aidan. He's cute.
Well, he is super cute, but he's really cheeky and a big troublemaker, but he's so funny. He loves dancing. He loves music. How about you? What were you like when you were little?
My nan always says to me, I'm a bundle of joy since I was little.
Oh, so, yes. I can well believe that. Aidan's giving you a hug. I think he likes you. Come here, cheeky chops.
When Moya was 34 weeks pregnant with Aidan, a scan revealed he might have Down syndrome.
What were the doctors saying?
So they were telling us things like he might not be able to walk or talk and that his life would be really, really difficult. So it was quite negative.
So how do you feel?
So we felt really scared. They asked us if we wanted to terminate the pregnancy and made us feel like bringing a child like Aidan into the world would be a really bad thing. And we said that we didn't want to talk about abortion. And then they kept saying it. And we were asked three times whether we wanted to abort him. And the last time was just a few days before he was born. I did think about whether I was doing the right thing, continuing with the pregnancy. And that made me feel really guilty for a long time afterwards, because now Aidan's here, it's just really, really hard to look at him and to think that at one point I wasn't sure if I even wanted him. Because he's amazing and he's wonderful. Ah! Yeah, exactly.
Why did you decide to challenge the law?
Given the way that doctors had tried to pressure us into terminating the pregnancy and had given us such a negative view of what Down syndrome was, it just felt really wrong to me that I have two sons and the law would be different for each of them. I just think that they should have the same rights. This is not about whether abortion's right or whether it's wrong. It's about equality.
No.
Bibi, what do you think about the abortion law? It's hard work, isn't it? Just leave it to me then.
No matter how much I try to understand the reasons behind the court's ruling against Moya and Heidi, I still feel that the law and the public portray disability, portray me, as the worst case scenario. Every year, thousands of expectant parents are given the news their baby may have a structural or genetic condition and have to face deciding whether to continue or end their pregnancy.
One person who can help us understand why they might choose to terminate is Jane Fisher.
Hi, hello.
She runs the charity ARC, who supports over 6,000 parents a year as they process this news.
Are there any cases that have
made you doubt the law?
No. I can say categorically no. The law is open, but it's not that people are making decisions by snapping a finger and thinking, oh, my baby's not perfect. It's an agonising decision at late stage where the doctors are pretty sure that the outcome could be very serious. There could be real challenges for the child and the family.
I do worry that women are given the worst-case scenario, and they have to be told the worst-case scenario,
yes,
of course they do.
Yeah.
But my spina bifida is considered the most severe form of spina bifida. And I just wonder how many pregnancies are terminated where they could have...
Well, there are going to be what-ifs. Many conditions represent what could be a range of outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And what parents are confronted with in this state of emotional turmoil is working out what do we want our child potentially to have to cope with. But the idea of actually perhaps stopping the law at 24 weeks, I think would backfire because it's going to mean that more people perhaps make a decision quickly before that because they can't wait beyond that to gather more information.
Mm-hmm.
It means that there will be people in positions after 24 weeks who are forced into a continuing pregnancy who really don't want to. And I don't think that achieves anything for people that are actually living with disabilities to force parents to continue when they don't want to.
No.
Do you think meeting us two would have made them change their minds?
I couldn't possibly say, but I think parents want to make an informed decision because they know they'll have to live with it.
Yeah.
They can find out about your life, Reuben, they can find out about Ruth's life, but that may not be their child's life.
I'm scared you think my life is worth less.
No, absolutely not. Parents are making their own personal decision within the context of their lives, and they're thinking there could be more struggles for their child, but they certainly don't think that people living in the world with Down syndrome, their lives aren't worth living.
Ruth is driving.
The law is so much more complex than I ever imagined at the start of this whole thing. I think Jane was the person I was most surprised at how much she said. I was like, oh, OK, I get that. I agree with that. I never, ever thought I'd be in a position where I'd, I guess, agree with some parts of what people have said. Especially when they're talking about terminating because a kid might have a life like I do. And if I agree with certain things, it feels like I'm really, really a terrible advocate for disabled people. Yeah, there's a lot of guilt.
Disability and abortion, the hardest choice.
It's been an eye-opening few weeks.
Thank you.
As Reuben and I have been challenging the morality of how disabled babies are treated differently by the Abortion Act. Today, I'm meeting a mum who I hope will help me understand why the law is the way it is. Her name is Kerri-Anne, and she chose to terminate her baby because he had spina bifida, the same disability as me.
I'm actually really nervous. I just want to learn and understand because I know what it's like to live with a disability, but I don't know what it's like to be pregnant with a child who's been diagnosed with a disability. The last thing I want is for Kerri-Anne to feel judged. It feels like it's going to be a really hard conversation for both of us, for different reasons.
Ruth wheels herself to the front door of a terraced house. A blonde woman answers.
Come on in.
Kerri-Anne lives with her partner Liam and their two girls, Ava and Evelyn.
Oh, Kerri-Anne, thank you so much for having us in your lovely home.
No problem.
So, are you happy to tell me about Bailey?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So, I was pregnant 2013.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much a shock pregnancy. I wasn't with anyone at the time.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited?
I've always wanted to be a mum, so I was so over the moon. Mm-hmm. So I felt very connected to him. And I went for my 20-week scan. And obviously, I was excited to find out if it was a boy or a girl. I remember the sonographer being quite blunt and said, I can see here, Carrie-Anne, that your baby does have spina bifida. And I was like...
Just said just like that?
Just like that.
Right.
And I was told that there is no way that a child like that would ever be able to have children of their own. I was also told at one point that there's a chance that he could also be in a vegetative state due to his liquid on the brain. And I felt there's not a lot I can do for this little boy. By choosing to have him was going to be choosing to give him a life of pain, misery, discomfort. Mm-hmm. That was going to be his life.
Mm-hmm. A few days later, at 21 weeks, Carrie-Anne chose to end the pregnancy.
To have to lay there at night and feel my little boy move, I think was by far the worst moment of my life, because I just felt like I was going against what a mother should do.
So with that, so you had a termination, then they induced you to give birth to him asleep. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing him?
I do remember seeing him. I do remember hearing the midwife saying, come here, soldier, let's get you wrapped up. And I remember that. Mm. That's when I really realised that I didn't just go through a birth. I went through a death.
When my mum found out that I had spina bifida, she was given a very bleak outlook. I was told I might not live. And obviously I'm here and I'm living. How is that to see and hear that Bailey and I both had bleak outlooks?
It's hard to see, in honesty, the living proof that he could have lived a perfectly fine life. But I think I do feel absolute comfort that I did the best I could for him. I think that's something there's never a moment of regret.
There's not?
No. Because you can't take it back.
No, of course not.
But I think it was absolutely the right thing to do for him because of the kind of life that I've just been told he's going to have. I don't think I would have had a happy little boy.
Yeah. Ducks on a pond. Ruth is in the back of a taxi.
That was a tough conversation. But at the same time, I think it's the one that I've found the most valuable in this whole thing. It was hard hearing what the doctor said to her as well. I think that's never easy to hear, because that was exactly what my mum was told, that I wouldn't walk, I wouldn't talk, I would have, you know, learning difficulties, brain damage. I always think how many parents have been told that, and then how many pregnancies have been terminated when they could have been very different. I can see why she did it. And I respect why she did it. And I never thought I'd get the opportunity to sit down and meet somebody and speak so openly about that.
Ruth goes to see Ruben, who's rehearsing with the Northern Ballet.
Brilliant, well done, everyone.
I can honestly say I've never had my beliefs stretched and tested to such an extent as I have these last few months.
There's a Ruben.
I'm hoping Rubes can help me find some closure.
Well, check you out. You're so good. But you knew that, right?
So we came the long way.
Yeah, we really.
From the distance.
I know. So do you think your opinion has changed on the law from when we first started?
So it did change my perception.
Did it?
It is crucial and important for women's right to choose.
It gives women the time, doesn't it? It allows them time to be able to research disability and not rush into making a decision. And I guess if you remove that law, essentially you're forcing mothers to have babies that they perhaps don't want or can't take care of, and that doesn't help anybody, does it?
Yeah.
It feels to me that there is a fear of disability, though. And I'm worried that's driving people to make the decisions they make.
I just want to change people's perception about people with all kinds and types with additional needs. It's all about people's minds and hearts.
That's very true. You can't make the law fair for everyone, can you?
Yeah.
Especially not something like this, because not everybody is ever going to agree on it.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing that we can do is just live our very, very happy, full and disabled lives and show the world how fabulous we are.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you better go and join your dance troupe.
Reuben dances.
We started this journey asking ourselves if we were wrong about this law. We've both had our eyes open to the huge value it has in giving parents choice in unthinkable situations.
Could it be better? Yes. Could it better reflect the varied lives people with disability have? Yes.
Could the outdated wording be changed so we aren't referred to as handicapped?
Hell yes.
But if we focus on changing society's attitudes towards people like us, then just maybe, questions like these will become redundant.